Episode 95, Oregon, The Struggle for Possession by William Burroughs, Chapter 1.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you here. I'm pretty excited about something new that I'm trying, and that is to share about our state's providential history. I plan on dropping episodes every Friday on this particular topic, and then I'll continue with two other episodes during the week on Mondays and Wednesdays pertaining other topics. Now, if you haven't already listened to episode 92, State Providential History, A Testimony, I hope that you'll go and listen to that before you move forward with this series. And in that episode, I give a little bit of a background about how I started to learn about our state's providential history and the effect that had on me. And that'll give you more of an in-depth understanding about why I'm pursuing this at this time. So to begin with, I'm going to be reading from The Primary Resource by historian William Burroughs. And this particular resource is titled Oregon, The Struggle for Possession. Now, fair warning, I'm just letting you know that there are parts of this account that I get choked up over and I may cry, but I'm going to do my best to make it through the reading of these accounts without blubbering too much so that I'm coherent and you can enjoy the history. In the event that I can't make it through, because sometimes some of the accounts are heart-wrenching and I just can't make it through it, I'll call in a family member to read those particular sections so that you can get the history. All right, so moving on with chapter one. This chapter is titled The European Powers in America. In 1697, the year of the Treaty of Ryswick, Spain claimed as her share of North America on the Atlantic coast, from Cape Romaine on the Carolina shore, a few miles north of Charleston, due west to the Mississippi River, and all south of that line to the Gulf of Mexico. That line continued beyond the Mississippi, makes the northern boundary of Louisiana. In the valley of the lower Mississippi, Spain acknowledged no rival, though France was then beginning to intrude. On the basis of discovery, by the heroic De Soto and others, she claimed up to the heads of the Arkansas and the present famous Leadville and westward to the Pacific. On that ocean, or the South Sea as it was then called, she set up the pretensions of sovereignty from Panama to Nootka Sound on Vancouver. These pretensions covered the coasts, harbors, inlands, and fisheries, and extended themselves indefinitely inland, and even over the whole Pacific Ocean, as then limited. These stupendous claims Spain based on discovery under the papal bull of Alexander VI in 1493. This bull or decree gave up to the government of the discoverer all newly discovered lands and waters. In 1513, Balboa, the Spaniard, discovered the Pacific Ocean as he came over the Isthmus of Panama, and so Spain came into the ownership of that body of water. Good old times those were, when kings thrust their hands into the New World, as children do theirs into a grab bag at a fair, and drew out a river 4,000 miles long, or an ocean, or a tract of wild land 10 or 15 times the size of England. At the Ryswick partition of the world, France held good positions in America for the mastery of the continent. Beginning on the Mississippi, where the Spanish line crossed it, that is, where Louisiana and Arkansas unite two of their corners on the Father of Waters, the French claimed east on the Spanish boundary and north of it to the watershed between the head streams dividing for the Atlantic and the Mississippi. Their claim was bounded by this highland line, continuing north and east, and still separating Atlantic streams from those flowing into the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence. Where this line reached the springs of the Penobscot, it followed its waters to the ocean. It was the proud thought of France that from the mouth of the Penobscot along the entire seaboard to the unknown and frozen Arctic, no European power divided that coast, and the wild interior back of it with her. So, France claimed indefinitely north to the farther rim of Hudson Bay, as now known, and all lands drained into that bay and wildly west to the heads of the Mississippi and Missouri, and thence down to our two corners of Louisiana and Arkansas. This gave to France even the western parts of Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New York, and a large northern portion of New England, as we now name those sections. Certain vague doubts hung over those French claims in the Great Northland after the Convention of Ryswick, but they were claims of little worth. Russia had no possessions in North America at the date of this survey, 1697. But as Peter the Great, her emperor, had at that time his plans matured for gaining interests in the New World, which afterwards resulted in Russian America, and as that nation entered the list of competitors for Oregon, it seems best here to outline her position on the field of struggle. The Russians came into possession on the northwest coast of America through their ardor in the fur trade. Within a few years after the Treaty of Ryswick, the Russians had subdued all northern Asia in the interests of this trade, and Siberia became the great game preserve of the empire. When once on the Asiatic shores of the northern Pacific, it was natural and not difficult in the chase for the sea otter and other valuable furs to push off to the Aleutian Islands and then to the American mainland of Alaska. So, through the enterprise of his widow, Queen Catherine, and of his daughter, Queen Elizabeth, the wish and vision of Peter the Great were realized in a commercial conflict with the Spanish and French and English on that coast. Among the distinguished leaders in this Russian enterprise was Bering the Dane, who, in his third voyage, gave up his life on the desolate little granite island that bears his name and his grave. In after years, the narrow passage between the two continents, through which he had twice sailed without discovering the straits, but supposing himself to be in the broad Arctic, was honored with his name. Having outlined the claims of these three leading powers in North America at the opening of this narrative, the English possessions are obvious as the small remainder. They constituted the long, narrow Atlantic slope extending from the Spanish Cape Romaine north of Charleston to the French bounds on the Penobscot, and inland up that river and along the watershed of the Alleghenies and of the French claim, down to the east and west Spanish boundary, and on it to Cape Romaine again. Under these claims, France and Spain held much more territory on this continent than the entire area of the continent of Europe. An estimate of the Russian possessions has been given. The narrow English belt hugging the Atlantic was hardly equal in area to Missouri. Of course, these outlines are stated only approximately and somewhat guessingly because of the dark geographical ignorance that shrouded North America at the opening of the 17th century. The pretentious claims of royalty, of the papacy, and of the rival favorites of the different courts overlapped each other like bogus mortgages, and they ran far and wide as liberally as astronomical spaces. Thus stood the foreign ownership of the New World at the conclusion of the Treaty of Ryswick, 1697. At this date, and our starting point, England was at her minimum and France at her maximum of claims in North America, and Spain had come down from grandiloquent assumptions to sensible pretensions. Now, before we close this chapter, here are some things I'd like you to really consider and ponder. Think about the countries, the governments that were struggling for the possession of Oregon. Each one of them, Russia, France, and Spain, were all monarchies. Now, it's true that England was also a monarchy. However, there was something taking place in history over in England that was setting things up for America to be able to be formed as a nation that is the freest nation on the face of this earth. We'll get into that some other time. But do consider again, like I was saying, that France and Spain and Russia were all monarchies. So imagine if any one of those governments had taken possession of Oregon, what that would have meant for this territory and the people living here. You could even consider how one of those countries in particular is operating today and whether or not you would appreciate living under that form of government. Now, while the other two nations that we're talking about in current times, particularly France and Spain, have more liberty than the third nation being discussed here, they still are not a constitutional federal representative republic like America. They still do not have as much liberty as America has. So that's something to weigh as we go through this history and to consider God's providence in Oregon becoming a part of the Union of the United States of America. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close this episode, and I hope you join me for chapter 2. If you enjoy listening to the Principles in Practice Homeschool Podcast, you learn a lot from it, you're inspired, it gives you things to contemplate, then please go ahead and go down to the donate button within the notes for the podcast, or you could go to principledacademy.com and find the donate button for it on the homepage. That'll help keep the show going and support our ministry. Also, if you would like to be trained and mentored in the principal approach for your homeschool, then you can go to principledacademy.com and sign up for the Biblical Classical Homeschool Experience membership. And in there, as a master teacher in the principal approach, I mentor parents in the philosophy and method for their homeschool and meet them where life and learning intersect.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principledacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.